And why did they ask for prayer? Because before they said, we have sinned in asking for a king. And so they asked for prayer. But then, as we've emphasized this week, does God change the course of the consequences that they had already begun? Absolutely not. So they must reap that which was sown. And so they have said, we have sinned in asking us of a king. Pray for us. But they must reap the reward of their actions prior.
I was just thinking that it's important to note that even though the people rejected God, God still uses Samuel. God did not reject him. He was still in perfect communion with Samuel, even though the people had rejected him and said, give us a king. God still uses us if we are rejected by men.
That's it.
I can answer that with a verse from the New Testament. He says, God has given me these people as my God has given me these, and no one shall ever pluck them out of my hand. Meaning, it doesn't matter what the rest of the world does if you're saved. God's got you forever. And I think that's the case in why Samuel's still in communion with God.
I think one of the real challenges is to understand. Certainly, God's purposes and his plans are not going to change, and they're not going to be dependent upon our behavior. God will come in and he will discipline us so that he brings us back in the right path. But I think one of the important notes that we don't want you to miss really is the behavior of Samuel. Just recently we were having a conversation with someone, and they were saying that some things were not going the way they had expected them to go. And so what they did was they kind of removed themselves and just sat back and said, well, you do what you want to do. Well, you see, that's not what Samuel did. Samuel saw and recognized that the people had gone away from the Lord. And the Lord said to him, listen, Samuel, they have not rejected you. Because the natural feeling is to say, well, you don't want to listen to me and be upset from that rejection. But God gave him the comfort that it's from me that they have turned aside. Samuel continues to have a heart for the people of God. You know why? Because God loves his people. He has called Israel. He has marked them out. And so Samuel knows that God is going to do everything that he is necessary to bring them back in line with his purposes. So why would Samuel, because this would then be Samuel after the flesh, throw his hands up and say, you know what, I'm done with you stiff-necked and wicked people. But no, he says, I'm going to pray for you. And he says, I'm going to also work with you. And I want to say, young people, it's very easy when things don't go our way to say, I'm done with those folks. And we're talking about ourselves as young people. But the more noble features that come out as we see in the life of the Lord Jesus is to say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to teach you, because teaching is giving instruction. And when someone moves away from the things of the Lord, they need to be prayed for. We need to intercede on their behalf. They need to be taught. Here is the path, walk ye in it. And he says, the other thing is, I'm going to teach you the good and the right way. You see, what we find is that there are other ways that we can travel on. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And he says in verse 24, here's the good and right way. Only fear the Lord. Serve him in truth with all your heart. Remember we had this in the previous chapter 7, where there was restoration. Where did it begin? In the heart. So if we're going to come back to the right path, it begins with having our hearts adjusted. And he says, for consider how great things God hath done for you. Young people, we must always keep before us how God has been faithful to us, how God has been gracious to us, how he's been merciful to us, how he has blessed us. And so what do we want to be? Do we want to be on this path of blessing? This is what Samuel is trying to do. He's trying to stir a response in their hearts. Oh, yes, you have sinned. You've rejected the Lord. You want a king. He's given that to you. And in spite of this failure, Israel, there is still a good and right path. And if you fear God, and if you put him first, and this king follows God, God will bless you. But if you don't, he says, and if you do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both you and your, and the king? No, your king.
I was thinking there was a question coming, but I want to follow what you're saying, Tony. When is it, dear young people, that we can have an influence upon those that are around us? Tony spoke yesterday of moral weight. I think there's a great principle there. It is only as Samuel is following the Lord that he can have any effect whatsoever, that God will use him to be an influence on the people of God. The reason that the brother brought a moment ago, I think it ties in with what we were saying, that he was a man who was known to be walking with God. So he can then speak on behalf of God, not just officially because he's got a place, but because men know that he fears the Lord, that he himself, first of all, is walking in that good and right way. If I'm not walking in the good and right way, how in the world can I teach somebody else that that's the way that they should be in? So we see this was the first thing with Samuel. He maintained communion with his God in spite of the ruin that was going on. The second thing he did is he did not become occupied with the failure of his brethren. There is not going to help you ever to be occupied with failure. Number one, you're not going to be encouraged. You're going to be discouraged if all you can see is the wrong that someone else has done. But, you know, if you can see the end in view of what God is doing, you can help set that before saints that are walking in the wrong direction. You can be able to say, as the verses Tony has read, well, wait a minute. Hang on. Look to the end. Where is the pathway you are on? Where is it going to lead? And this is what he reminds them of. He's a man of God. He is contending. He is contending earnestly for the principles of the faith that God has given to them. I want to tell you again, it doesn't mean that he'll be popular. It doesn't mean that there'll be a lot of people that'll walk up and say, Samuel, man, I want to company with you. I really think it's the other way. I believe that you see one man, but he's not alone. God is with him. The Lord is supporting him. He is helping him as he attempts to bring the people of God back. So we can just remember that. He didn't give up. He didn't quit praying, as Tony said. He didn't quit teaching. But he kept setting an example, number one, and then he kept speaking to the people of God, number two.